Hello. Welcome to Live Well Lifestyle. I have to thank what we're doing today. Seminar with Perrier, where we talk about handling changes in life and staying stress-free and in the peaceful moment. And managing this can help our health, help us health-wise, so, because stresses bring such a burden on our life. I did want to start the conference today with explaining, some of you may not know, that the Living Clay Company has sold the new company. You still go to the same website and place your orders. It's just going to be shipped from a different location. Same products. Very good company. They have a distribution where they can get the clay in many more stores than we were able to. And I think it will really help and make the clay available to more people across the United States. And you can go to your local store instead of having to order it. But it's a very good company. They're very much in integrity. They go by the letter of the law, and I find them to be just really good people. So you may not get the service you got from Leslie on the phone and able to talk to you about clay for a long time, because I think they have a phone room that just takes pretty much takes orders, but I'm still going to be available to answer questions, and I am working on the new book. I'm keeping the book, so when I get the last changes made, we'll go into production with it and let everyone know. I do have a new book site that's in construction, but if you go to the old book site, it should eventually link you to the new one, but it's still being worked on. It's a very simple name. It's called theclaybook.com. Don't expect too much now because we're setting it up, and I have the help of an angel in my life that's doing that for me. So I'm feeling very, very blessed and have had great messages from so many people. So that's all good. Just wanted to let you know, not all the public has heard about it, and I did announce it on the Q&A about calcium bentonite clay teleseminars. So just kind of wanted to go over that. Today we're having the Live Well Lifestyle Seminar, and the topic I chose is life is temporary. You know, things happen and change comes along, and our lives can shift from one place to another so quickly in a heartbeat. And I happen to live in the part of the country near San Marcos. I'm one town over, and that's where all the flooding was, and a lot of my friends live there, and my daughter and her family, but they were all safe on dry land. However, the topic, you know, talking about life is temporary, life isn't always fair. It just is. We live and we die, and some of us died way too young, unexpectedly. And how do we react to that? How do we respond to that? I had a friend whose husband was going to the mall. He was sitting in his car at a stoplight, and a cement truck lost control, turning the corner, and flipped over and landed on his car, crushing him to death. He was totally innocent, just sitting in his car, and, you know, she kissed him goodbye, and when he went to the store, and not expecting to never see him again, so how do you cope with things like that when good people die young? In the recent floods, there were homes washed away, cars, possessions, and even lives. The prom queen on her way home from the prom within a block of her home and thought she could make it across where the water had gone over the river and washed away and drowned. It was the best and the worst knife of her life. You don't expect it to hit close to home and to be people you know until it does. So how do we cope with things like this? There was the story of the family that was on vacation and in the home, and the water got up so fast they couldn't get out, and the home was knocked off its foundation, and the home was floating down the river. There was the father and mother, two small children, and their dog, and I think some other people were in the house with them. And you can't bail out of a house floating down a river. Can you imagine the panic and all? And then suddenly the house hit a bridge abutment and just exploded, and they were all thrown out into the river. The father was found, he had washed up in some of the debris with a punctured lung and very seriously injured. The dog they found 2 or 3 days later. The wife and the two children, I think the little boy was found 30 miles away. He had washed downstream before they found his body. And there are people still missing. And those that are grieving over their possessions, you know, everything they own washed away. My daughter has a couple living at her house now that they lost everything in their home. And so they're staying at her house while she's on vacation, and it's working out well for both of them. So what do? We pull up from reserves we didn't know we had. Communities come together. Neighbors, churches, families, friends, people from all across the world have come in, electric companies to help repair the lines, people to come in to remove the debris, heavy equipment operators. We learn stuff is replaceable, but lives are not, and it happens to all of us eventually. It can get close to home. Every area of the world has its own disasters. Floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, fires, blizzards, avalanche, wars, and the list goes on and on. None of us can really escape totally living in a proximity to danger. It's how we cope and accept and let go that must happen to move forward. Kindness from others helps tremendously. Appreciation, gratitude that lives were spared. A time for grief. And we've heard so many of them with everything washed away, and they said, at least we have our lives. We weren't drowned in the flood. So they're grateful for that. And we must have time for grieving. A time for weeping and washing away of deep sorrows. So how do you let go of newly acquired resulting fears that come to imprison our minds on future decisions we make? Something like this really leaves a scar, even after you grieve and have your grieving time. The letting go of possessions that you can do nothing about any longer, your pictures, everything you cherish, can you imagine just having everything wiped out and having to start over and rely on handouts and the goodness of other people? Back in the days of Little House on the Prairie, neighbors came together when there was a fire in somebody's barn burned. They had barn raisings where they all came together, brought food, had music, and all the men chipped in together, and then boom, the new barn was built in a heartbeat. And everybody chipped in. And that's what we do today in different ways. And it's amazing the help that has come in, of the funds for people to be able to go to the store and buy some shoes. My daughter's a kindergarten teacher, and the first day after the flood, there were a lot of children that weren't there, and she was concerned about them. And they found that some of them who had been in flooded areas left without their clothes, and they didn't have shoes, so they couldn't come to school without shoes. So it was set up, a place was set up where they could go and get shoes. Local stores chipped in. So, you know, but moving on to this, and when we go through something like this, we start living with fears of the future. And we become imprisoned by our own minds on future decisions we make. We want to hold our loved ones dear to us. We are more conscious of saying I love you every morning when they leave, because you never know. We always hear the story of someone in a car accident that never made it home that night. So remember that life is temporary, and to be in the moment with the people that you are. But I think if you can learn to let go of the fear of the future, just like if you're in a plane and it had a hard landing or crash or something, you may never want to get in a plane again. So are you limiting you and punishing the plane? You know, what are the odds? And yet the fear is still there. So we need to address the fear and try to work through our fears that hold us back. And I think we all know people who have been madly in love with someone and it didn't work out, and they just decided then on they would never hurt that much again. So the only way to do that is to avoid a relationship, right? So they end up living old maids and hermits and just not trusting people. And wouldn't that be horrible not to be able to trust people? So coming to grips with it. Resistance is about believing that you are vulnerable or susceptible to something not wanted and holding a stance of protection. So if you feel fearful that something you don't want might come into your space or might happen, we get very protective, which only holds you in a place of not letting in well-being that would be otherwise there. Sometimes we block out the good. Maybe the perfect love relationship was waiting for that person, and in her fear of being hurt again, she missed the chance of a lifetime to have a wonderful life partner. So we don't know, but those are some of the things we do when we get this way. Abraham Hicks said, there is nothing big enough to protect you from unwanted things. So, you know, it may come. And there are no unwanted things big enough to get into your experience. Now, that kind of makes me think, and I haven't figured out what the second part means yet. There's nothing big enough to protect you from unwanted things, and there are no unwanted things big enough to get into your experience. And I think that means even when there is something big happens, it's how you let it affect your life that counts. And if you let it cripple you or make you angry or build up this resistance, are you cheating yourself out of life? And I found some peace with Eckhart Tolle in his book, Stillness Speaks. He said, even within the seemingly most unacceptable and painful situation is concealed a deeper good, and within every disaster contains a seed of grace. And time to time you hear stories of disaster and then you find the good on the other side. I remember when the tornado in Wichita Falls wiped out a mile-wide strip of houses through the city. And it wasn't in the finest part of town. There were older homes, and then they rebuilt. And now it's where these older homes were falling down, it was like a cleaning and a renewal and making way for something better. When you completely accept this moment, when you no longer argue with what is, the compulsion to think lessens and is replaced by an alert stillness. So when we completely can accept just this moment, and when you're not arguing with what is, why did this happen to me? I can't believe this happened. She wasn't supposed to die. He wasn't supposed to be killed. All of this arguing with the reality of what is just keeps you in a state of confusion and frustration and anger. And when you can get to the place of stillness, when you can let it go and accept it, more accepting of it, let it go, the compulsion to think, our thinking mind shut down and get still, and there's a peaceful stillness there. You are fully conscious, yet the mind is not labeling this moment in any way. We're not making it good or bad. It just happened. There's no labeling. And the mind ceases to think. In this state of inner non-resistance, In this state of inner non-resistance, you are open to the unconditioned human mind. This vast intelligence can then spread itself through you and assist you both from within and from out. That is why by letting go of inner resistance, you often find circumstances changing for the better. And that's Eckhart Tolle. Now, I have a poem, and I've often thought of a disaster hit. What is the one thing I would grab before I left? And on the wall, there is, in its original frame from 1887, is a needlepoint poem that was written by my great-great-great-grandmother in 1887. It was hand-stitched. They taught the children to sew, to tat, to crochet, to make the little needlepoint things. Unlike today when you buy a needlepoint pattern and it has the little pattern embossed on the material so you know where to put your thread, this one was just a plain sheet of material where she had to do her own words. And I have it attached to the handout for today, the notes for today, but I want you to be aware that there it looked like a lot of words are spelled wrong, but it's the spelling of the day. The word traveler is spelled differently than we spell it today, and of course the English is different. Now, Janet Taylor was 11 years old when she wrote this, and it's called Traveler's Poem. See how yon cloud obscures the day and darkness spreads around. The fearful travel speeds his way, lest storms his path surround. But mark the rainbow's cheerful sight, how paints the gloomy sky. The heavenly token bends its light and cheers the traveler's eye. 'Tis thus affliction, cloud we view, as oft it gathers round. The storm seems ready to pursue the pilgrim it has found. But faith uplifts her prayerful eye and sees a rainbow shine. The cloud is tinged with heavenly dye that sheds a hope divine. I've always had kind of a positive side to my nature, and I think and hope that I date back to this wonderful woman who did this needlepoint work and wrote this poem at age 11. I wonder what she was thinking, and did she have any idea that it would be instrumental in touching someone's life 128 years later like it has mine? It has its original frame. The cloth, I'm sure, is very fragile. We've never taken it out. And it has the original glass, which has kind of a warbled effect, a beautiful glass to it. But I love that poem. And that is the way of life. 'Tis thus affliction cloud we view as oft it gathers around. Change happens. We get fearful. We're worried about the change. Instead of saying, this or something better. And that's my motto, this or something better. What's coming next? What opportunities are waiting for me next? What can I do next to make a difference in the world? So I hope that has helped you. If you're aware, there's school shootings, a lot of tragedies, 9/11, things like that where innocent people die. And it doesn't make sense that being in the now moment. I love the little book, Stillness Speaks, by Eckhart Tolle. It has brought me a great deal of satisfaction. And I would like to end, if I can open the book and find the piece that I wanted to read to you. Do not treat this moment as if it were an obstacle to be overcome. Do you feel you have a future moment to get to that is more important? Almost everyone lives like this from time to time. Since the future never arrives except as the present, it is a dysfunctional way to live. It generates a constant undercurrent of unease and tension and discontent. It does not honor life, which is now, and never not now. So, you know, is it more important to get the business plan finished or putting away dishes? What's more important in doing, the result you want to achieve through the doing or the moment or some future moment? And when we're in, where our busyness moments, we can't hear this quiet, still quiet voice in our mind. I call it the voice of God trying to reach me and tap me on the shoulder and send me a message that God is good and all is well. Well, that's my message for today. And if anyone has any questions they would like to write in response to it, or would like to, any questions they'd like to ask, period, I'm going to go to the question and answer page. Well, it's not working. I'm on the phone page. If anyone has a question, if you'll press star 2 on your phone, I'll be happy to answer it. And like I say, I'll still be around. I still plan on doing the teleseminars, and I still plan on, you know, doing the book and having the book website. You can go to the book website and find me, and the recordings will be stored there. You can sign up there. If you want to sign up for the Perrier Power Thoughts that I send out each Monday, or the teleseminar notices, you can go to theclaybook.com. But if you can't find it right away, just be patient. Change is in progress. Well, I don't see anyone. If you press star 2 on the phone, it will let me know. And there are no questions today, so I hope we're all satisfied and happy. I really believe that Clay has been honored and that we have given her wings and allowed her to be available to more people, and it would have taken years for us as a small company to do this. The company that bought it has several companies. They buy the company, keep the brand name, and try to honor what the people started with. They're all about supplements and cosmetics, but they're all about natural products and health products that are healthy and good for the body. And so we are honored that they have the distribution cycles that they can put the clay out there and be available to more people. I think it's wonderful. And when you go in a store and they don't have the large container because the stores are chintzy with their space, remember you can always ask them to order you a larger size, and they'll be happy to do that. So, again, star 2 if you have any questions to ask, and I can open your line. And I'm not seeing anyone, so I guess I answered everything. I will have the notes available on the website. And remember that poem. I think that poem is beautiful, and I keep it in my kitchen so I can see it often to remind me that storm clouds do come, but then rainbows come too. So look for the rainbows, find the good in life, be appreciative, be grateful, and when you're in a storm, be still, be quiet. Sometimes when we are at our busiest, it's when is our signal to slow down and stop and find a quiet place to just breathe, let go inside, and not try to resolve anything, just to be, not look for solutions, just to be content. You can always have intentions for your life, and I'm a big believer of intentions. So my intention is to be aware of the next opportunity arising that I can talk about clay and help people understand how it works. So I thank you for listening in today. I know it wasn't the most cheeriest of subjects, but I think it's something that we all need to look at and deal with and be prepared for when it does come. So with that, this is Perrier thanking you very much for listening in, and I appreciate all of you and wish all of you a wonderful life. Have a great weekend, and look for the opportunities. This is Perrier signing out.